Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
I also had my first abortion at the Seattle Planned Parenthood. Yay! Notice I said first. I said first, and I don't want Seattle, I don't want you guys to feel insecure. It was my best one. Heads and tails above the rest. If I could Yelp review it, I totally would.
Well, you can't make that kind of stuff up. That's actress Martha Plimpton boasting recently about her multiple abortions before a crowd that was, well, just loving it, thought it was hilarious that she had an abortion. We're celebrating, I think it's fair to say, the fact that she'd had an abortion and perhaps more. We've gone from what? Safe, legal, and rare, a necessary evil. We need to make it legal because it's something that women need. No one really wants one. To laughing about it and cheering about abortion. How does this happen? Joining us to talk about celebrating abortion on this Friday afternoon, Nicole Russell, mother of 4 children in Northern Virginia, senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column there titled "Abortion is a Celebration Now." That's insanely wrong. Nicole, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
We used to hear from the pro-abortion community things like caveats, like safe, legal, and rare. There was a pretty strong, at least kind of PR rhetoric bent that this is a necessary evil, but it's necessary, and so it ought to be legal. And now we are told that abortion is something that women ought to be celebrating, something they ought to be giddy about, anxious to have. Where does the pro-abortion community go next?
Boy, that's a tough one. I don't know where they could go after this, because even this has really surprised me. When you see how much abortion is glorified in the media, on television shows and movies, the examples I gave in my piece are of, in particular, an actress who went to this event in Seattle and was bragging about her abortion, the fact that she'd had her first abortion in Seattle, and everyone started cheering. I mean, as if they were at a sporting event and their team had scored. You know, it was such a happy moment. And so where the abortion lobby can go from celebration, I don't know. You'd like to think maybe they'll circle back and start to realize how little sense it makes, and maybe actually start to defend the unborn at some point. I don't know. We seem pretty far from that.
You also mentioned the fact that Planned Parenthood was recently the recipient of a pretty prestigious scientific award. Again, this is an organization that aborts hundreds of thousands of babies every year. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this sort of just snuck into the New York Times last week. The Lasker Awards are an annual event where the Lasker Foundation grants 2 or 3 pretty significant prizes in the amount of $250,000 to people who are advancing science. One of the winners 1 year was the developer of the cochlear implant. So these are pretty big scientific breakthroughs that get honored by this particular foundation. But this year they kind of departed a little bit, and one of the groups they honor was Planned Parenthood. And this just absolutely shocked me, because number one, it's obviously such a political statement. Planned Parenthood, not only do they perform abortions regularly, but they don't do anything related to scientific breakthroughs. You know, they might provide, some of their clinics might provide, you know, some birth control. They might do some examinations here and there, but really their main gig is abortions, 300,000 about per year. So for this particular foundation to say, oh yeah, we want to applaud, this scientific breakthrough and award them this money and this prize is just absolutely ridiculous and very, very sad for the scientific community.
I think it's one thing for an actress to stand up or a stand-up comedian. You talked about Louis C.K. and other stand-up comedians who have kind of made jokes out of abortion. I think it's one thing to see the Hollywood set do this partly because they just are seeking attention at any cost, whatever gets them a laugh or gets them cheers. The average woman who's had an abortion or two, how are their thoughts and their conscience different from the apparently blasé attitude of the celebrities?
I think you make a good point. Even though it is celebrated in Hollywood, I don't think the average woman who is considering an abortion is particularly giddy about it. I would say maybe it would depend on the setting. I know that there's been a few opinion pieces written recently by college-age women who they felt some pressure to get an abortion, and they felt relief afterwards, and maybe some sense of pride. So it's not quite the same celebration that we're seeing in Hollywood. But I do think the average woman might take it a little more seriously and isn't so quick to celebrate it, as a happy event.
Is there a indication with the dropping of the abortion rate that maybe the pro-abortion industry is getting a little worried about their bottom line, fewer women seeking or wanting abortions?
I don't know if it's to do with their financial bottom line, if that's why abortions are going down or if they're concerned. I would imagine the fact that in the legislature, conservatives are struggling so much to defund Planned Parenthood kind of might indicate that they are a little bit concerned about it. I mean, they do receive a lot of federal funds, and if abortions are slowly going down, and if some clinics are slowly over time being shut down, then they're probably concerned about their finances. But honestly, I think a lot of Planned Parenthood or pro-choice advocates, they truly believe in this cause. They view it as a cause, and they believe in the right of choice. And they believe that their body is more important, and their rights and their choice, so to speak, are more important than the life of an unborn child. And I think that's actually more frightening to them, that right might sort of go away or be diminished, even above losing some financial aid.
I think there's two possibilities here. Someone who stands up and says, I had an abortion, I celebrate my abortion, either has to firmly believe that abortion isn't what it is, which is the taking of a innocent life in the womb, or they do know that that's true and just don't care. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I agree with you. Those are probably the two main reasons. And it really is hard to know. I tend to think, especially Ben Shapiro was at Berkeley last night, and there was a Q&A about abortion. And of course, the question was really about viability and about when does life begin. And so I do think most people kind of err on that side of, well, it's probably just a blob of tissues. That's what they're really being, that's what kids are being taught in sex ed. And by the time women grow up and get pregnant and they don't want that pregnancy, that's kind of what echoes in their head. So I think the majority of women and men are thinking of abortion that way. They kind of want to ignore what science says about when life begins. There's probably a small percentage, like the comedian I cited in my piece, that kind of says, yeah, abortion is killing babies. And so what? I think that is there, but you would hope it's less common, because that's a little bit scarier, because then we really have nothing to combat that with except just, trying to tweak everybody's moral compasses.
What should be celebrated if instead of the taking of the innocent unborn life? What should be celebrated?
Sure. One of the things I said in my piece was that, instead of congratulating people who are having abortions and getting excited about it. We really should be applauding the thousands of women who are unsure about having an abortion. They go through with having a baby. They're scared. They're alone. They're frightened. And they give the baby up for adoption, or they raise the baby themselves. And I think those are the people that we should be applauding and supporting with our funds. I think also any scientific breakthroughs, you know, in terms of, you mentioned the Lasker Foundation, those are also the people that we need to be supporting and applauding. Any science that would help, you know, increase a baby's chance of survival. There was a breathing tube invented several years ago that has basically allowed any baby between 22 weeks on that's born can survive outside of the womb because of that breathing tube. So I think those are the types of things we want to applaud, as opposed to, of course, just, yay, go have an abortion. You know, that's not the message I think we should be sending as a society.
As a mother of four children, what would you say to a young woman who is facing an unplanned pregnancy and is toying around with that idea of taking a human life?
I would just encourage her that children really do, babies begin at conception, life begins at conception, and that even if it's unplanned, even if she's afraid, she should go through with having a baby. That doesn't mean she has to be a single mom. It doesn't mean she has to do it alone. There are thousands of couples who would love to adopt. And that choice, even if she chose to give the baby up for adoption, that choice would clear her conscience, and it would also give that baby a chance at life, perhaps even make another family feel more complete. And I think if society as a whole encouraged this, then we would not be so numb and so callous toward abortion now.
Nicole Russell is a mother of four children in Northern Virginia, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled Abortion is a Celebration, That's Insanely Wrong. Read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Nicole, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, LCMS Life Ministry advocates for the unborn, weak, and vulnerable. They're committed to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and in the culture at large. Check out their great pro-life resources at lcms.org/life, lcms.org/life. On the other side of the break, since it's Friday, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites lined up for you to listen to. And after you've listened to them, you will give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is next.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Throughout the history of the United States, we as a country have enjoyed our catchphrases from give me liberty or give me death to today's classic, it is what it is. TV commercials have added such classics as where's the beef to eat fresh. Here at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, we do not resort to catchphrases. Here we are about growing God's family by preaching God's word, by administering the sacraments, and building up God's people. So the next time you find yourself in central Oklahoma on a Sunday morning, come join the friendly folks at St. Mark in Edmond. You'll be glad you did. This is most certainly true.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I believe in God the Father Almighty. Millions confess the great creeds of the church each week. But why? Learn more about Christian creeds and Lutheran confessions this month in The Lutheran Witness. Get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's premier magazine for only $6.99 when you visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.